Any team that's tested AI tools for data has seen the pattern already. AI gives a different number than your BI tool. Metrics don't match across teams. And inevitably, users lose trust. It turns out, turning on AI is easy, but making it work on data is not. Hex AI was built to solve this. The key is nailing context. Hex is built to unify and curate your data context for agents. Data teams can observe, govern, and continuously improve every AI answer, so answers get smarter the more your team asks. The result? Your entire organization asks data questions in natural language and trusts the answers. Not because the AI got lucky, because it knows your business and its data. Because that's what an AI analytics platform should do. Join data teams from Cursor, Lovable, Ramp, AWS, and over 2,000 more at hex.ai.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember, FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And as we do every Friday at this time, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in our good friend Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD, presented by FreedomTireGuys.com and CraneWorks and RentalWorks. FreedomTireGuys.com, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at FreedomTireGuys.com. CraneWorks and RentalWorks, your source for crane and equipment rental. Visit CraneWorks.com. TD, what's going on? Hope you and the family are doing well through the snowpocalypse here in Nashville. How's life? What's going on?
Hey, good morning. Everything's fine, man. It's not that big of a deal, but I understand, you know, down here a little bit of snow is a lot different, so we'll make it through it.
That's right. We will make it through it, and it's quite snowy out there at this point. Hope everybody is safe if they have to travel today. So, TD, obviously, lots at stake for the Titans this week against the Texans to wrap up the number one seed in the AFC. I'm just curious, from your vantage point, even though he may not be on the field this week, how much of a shot in the arm do you think just getting Derrick Henry back on the practice field is for this group?
Yeah, it's a big shot in the arm. I mean, the one practice that we got to see on Wednesday, you kind of feel the energy, you can feel the juice, and that's a big thing for that team because, you know, Derrick Henry, he's the catalyst of that offense, right? That's who it revolves around. That's who, you know, where it all starts. So it's definitely a big thing for them. Now, he won't play this weekend, you know, against the Texans, but still just having him back on the field and working towards returning to a game in the playoffs is a major thing for that team.
So there's been some argument, you know, this week. I mean, I was arguing with Jared yesterday, which is never frustrating, about, you know, the idea of, as you know, TD, you know, about the idea of, like, the rust thing with Derek, you know, like it would be useful to get him some carries out there, knock some rust off. To me, it's like, I'd rather, like, with an injury like that, especially have the time. And also, I don't know that I really, like, okay, let's go back to here's the central point of the argument, TD. Go back to the season opener. I don't remember thinking like Derrick Henry like was rusty in that game or was a little right. bit off. He had 17 for 58, but they got their butts kicked up front, and like he was kind of taken out of the game in the second half. I don't know. Yeah. Where do you come down on like the rust versus the rest?
Yeah, I wouldn't be too concerned about rust. After all, this is the same guy that hasn't taken a snap during a preseason game in the last 2 years, right? And you saw how things have gone for him. So I think big picture, you have to look at that surface, the field turf. And I could tell you, like, that's not too forgiving for an athlete, right? And when you plan on it and cut on it and do the different type of things, it's not exactly the best for your feet. So when you have a guy dealing with a foot, you know, recovering from a foot injury, to put him on that type of surface for his first game experience, I don't think that that's really too wise of a thing to do. And I think that's how the Titans are looking at it. So, you know, I get the rush factor, but Derrick Henry is a bit different from a lot of other players. And that's not to say he won't, you know, have some conditioning issues. It's really the perfect storm because you see Deontay Foreman and that rushing attack hitting the groove. So you don't have to give Derrick Henry 30 carries. You could give him 10 to 15 carries and still get something from him and have the other carries go to Foreman, Hilliard, and McNichols.
TD, obviously this is going to be, you know, an interesting game for Zach Cunningham going back and facing his old team. Just overall, what have been your impressions so far of what Cunningham has brought to the table for the Titans?
Yeah, and I tried to get him. We were talking yesterday. And I tried to get him to take the bait, you know, and say something about looking forward to his former team, but he wasn't doing it. I think really when you look at Cunningham, it's really attractive how well he gets to the football. And oftentimes he finds himself as the first defender, you know, arriving at the ball carrier. And that's a big time thing. And then the violence that he plays with, that's something else that is really good. And when they have him and David Long, you know, on the field together, man, that's a fun thing to watch, you know. So that's really what I make of Cunningham. He gives them also a guy that has that height, weight, and speed to match up against some of these tight ends too, which, you know, is a good option in addition to Dane Cruikshank, who has done an excellent job from that perspective.
Yeah, I mean, this defense – from week 14 through 17, first in the league in scoring D, rushing yards, passer rating, seven picks is first. I mean, it's a lead across the board. Kind of coincides with Zach Cunningham joining the team, but, you know, I know there's a lot more to it. But I'm with you, TD. I feel like Cunningham and Long together, we finally got to see an extended, you know, look at that last week. Boy, I think that could be an awfully good combo in the playoffs. How good do you think this – like, is this defense to the point now where, you know – this team, as it looks toward trying to make a run, it can feel like, hey, you know, lean on this defense. It's as good as any defense out there.
Yeah, I really think when you look at the front end and back end with the second level in between, I mean, there's solid players at every part of it. And actually, there are Pro Bowl caliber players at every, all pro caliber players at every level of the defense. You know, Kevin Byard, we know what he does. Amani Hooker, you know, it's a solid tight. I mean, safety. He'll come up, and you know he can make plays at the line of scrimmage. You look at Jack Rabbit Jenkins. He's playing really good football as well. Coach Rabel had he spoke about that on Wednesday, and Christian Fulton quietly is developing into you know one of those corners where you're like, okay, I don't have to worry about that side of the field. You know, so that's a solid thing. And we just talked about Cunningham and Long, but then when you get up front, you know, you got Danico Autry. He's whooping people's behind almost every play. Jeffrey Simmons, you know, as stout as he is, Bud Dupree, Howard Landry. I mean, you look at that whole unit, they are really good. They're strong against the run. Now, sometimes you'll be able to, you know, get a deep pass against them. You saw the Dolphins do that with Waddle. But, I mean, for the most part, if you look, they've held their own against a lot of the top passing games.
Teron Davenport on the line by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Lots of talk on Titans Twitter this week about Mike Vrabel and Coach of the Year Award, and there's some debate out there about should it go to Matt LaFleur of the Packers or Zach Taylor of the Bengals. Where do you kind of come down on Mike Vrabel and his candidacy for Coach of the Year?
Yeah, well, I did the Freddie and Fitzsimmons show on ESPN Radio the other day. Was it Wednesday, Tuesday? I did it. And at the end of the show, you know, you get a chance to share your thoughts. And my one thought was Coach Vrabel should be Coach of the Year. And I think when you look at a team that has had 88 or 89 different players, it's an NFL record of players rostered on game day. So to have that and one of those players be Derrick Henry, I think that's a pretty good feather in his cap as far as being able to still guide this team to an 11-5 record. And then there were down times where the offense wasn't doing it, defense wasn't doing it, one or the other, and you never had finger pointing. They just kind of rolled right through, and here they are, you know, on the verge of being the top seed in the AFC. I don't know how much better it could get than that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like I feel like that award a lot of times, you know, it's like the team that really exceeds expectations, and the Titans had high expectations. But I agree. I mean, you look at all the things that this team has gone through. I don't think it's. I mean, Vrabel shrugs it off and makes it, you know, very nonchalant about that. But there's no way it's easy. Well, there's no way it's easy to find as many guys as they've found, too. I mean, I do think that you have to look at John Robinson on that front, but also to plug them in and get the production and execution they've got, man, that's to me, I don't know what else is, a better endorsement of coaching. So, TD, just how do you feel about if the Titans get this done, as they darn well should, with relative ease to me, Sunday, and get the one seed. How do you view the AFC playoff picture? How do you view them and where they stand in the AFC?
Yeah, I think they match up pretty well. The Colts are probably that will be an interesting game just because it's very difficult to beat a team three times in one season. So you have that, and you look at their style of play, it matches up pretty well. That's why those games are always, pretty close. The other teams, the Chiefs, obviously, with Mahomes, I think everyone else, they match up pretty well. I mean, they seem to have the Bills number, and the Bills just simply can't run the football. And, you could run the football against them. The Bengals, I think, is a really interesting matchup, and I think the Titans are one of the few teams that have the cornerbacks that can match with those guys, right? You got Jamar Chase and T. Higgins, the Knoxville product. You got Tyler Boyd. And I think when you look at Elijah Molden, I like that matchup against Boyd, whether it's Christian Fulton against Chase or Jackrabbit against Higgins, whichever, I think they match up pretty well. And then, obviously, Mixon coming out of the backfield, they defend the run very well. So I think that is a good game for the Titans. So overall, I mean, you look outside of the Colts and the Chiefs, I think they have a pretty good situation there for them. So we'll just have to see how this goes. But, in the playoffs, man, any team could get hot and make a run all the way to L.A.
Well, TD, it's certainly going to be fun. We're looking forward to this game coming up on Sunday. This is the fun time of the year to be watching some NFL football, no question about it. Appreciate you taking time to join us today, my man.
Yeah, for sure. Appreciate you guys. Take it easy.
Absolutely. Jerron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by FreedomTireGuys.com and CraneWorks and RentalWorks. FreedomTireGuys.com, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at FreedomTireGuys.com. CraneWorks and RentalWorks, your source for crane and equipment rental. Visit CraneWorks.com. We'll come back. We've got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Play silly underdog picks today. Pick three football underdog teams you think will win this week for a chance to win tickets to an upcoming sporting event or concert. Go to thegamenashville.com for more details and to play. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Liam on the text line says, revised call shot. Next week, Joe will have a perfect show with no mutes, solid Wi-Fi, a good mic, and no lip smacking. And ironically, all those things will be missed, and the show won't be quite as good. This is coming from Liam on the text line.
Well, Liam, let me tell you something. Okay.
Great stuff.
I hope you got my point there, Liam. I'm sorry that I swore on the air, but I had to do it.
Thank you. Florida Titan text again says, Derrick Henry sitting out preseason or training camp in the past is different from coming off the shelf for 10 weeks from an injury. Going back to the Derrick Henry rest versus rust argument. This is coming from Florida Titan on the text line.
Okay, so Florida Titan saying that it's important to get out there and play a little bit to get the rust off. That's
yes.
Is that how I'm reading that? Yeah. Yeah, man, I'm sorry. I just Here's my question. If I'm Mike Vrabel, one, is he 100%? And I think the answer is, yeah, the answer is yes, he's healed. Okay. Two, does this injury have a better chance of, does the healing have a better chance of holding? And also, is there a risk of re-injury the earlier you come back? Yes. Okay. Derek, we'll see you at the divisional round. It's simple. Hey, it's great if you can get someone in there and get somewhere. I had this argument with Jared yesterday about, you know, because he's like, well, look at the opening day numbers against the Cardinals. Then the next week, you had a big day against the Seahawks. I'm like, okay, that's true. But, I mean, you could go through any season, last season, this season, you can find a game where he didn't have big numbers. Is that a rust game? I don't think what we saw in the opener this year was a rust situation. I thought it was a team that got their butts kicked up front situation. And I threw at him. Derek last year had the same preseason and went, you know, 30 for 116 at Denver. Not a huge game, but like I think that was a pretty good, like you'd take 30 for 116 against a good defense on the road, would you not? Ideally, play a little bit and get ready. As TD pointed out, the turf is something to keep in mind here. He got hurt on that turf. It is absolutely injuries are there's no dispute over the studies over time of turf versus grass, which, by the way, if I'm the Titans, I play that up a lot as I'm recruiting free agents. You're going to play at least 8 games and then you're going to have some more on the road that are grass if you come play with us versus all these other teams where you're going to play on turf. So the turf thing's a factor. And it's just, to me, it's a no-brainer. But I understand that if Derrick Henry comes out and he doesn't immediately set the world on fire and run it and go 80 yards on his first carry, then someone will say, oh, he should have played at Houston.
Well, you know, between
in that exact voice, by the way.
Yeah, probably so. Between the turf and the grass and now, you know, the apparent summertime weather that Nashville has in January as well, which is on display at the moment. I mean, this could be a recruiting hotbed for NFL free agents.
That's a good point. That is a good point. You got the balmy weather that you always have here in January.
Yeah, really evident right now. As I woke up this morning and the feels like temperature was 0 degrees and there was 8 inches of snow outside. It's good stuff.
You can also tell people we got a lot of Walgreens around here. There's a lot of recruiting pitches you can give
people. Yes. Josh texting in, hope it's not too late, but calling my shot. Kansas City will lose on Sunday. Ryan and Henry will play 10 plays. So
Kansas City's playing Saturday, so you're already wrong, buddy.
Well, they are going to play on Saturday, that's for sure.
Which is dumb, by the way. Can I just complain about this real fast?
You go right ahead.
Why did they flex Kansas City, Denver, and Philly, Dallas?
I don't know.
And did not flex LA, San Francisco. I mean, the two big games with implications for both teams are the Raiders, Chargers, and we are getting that Sunday night, which is great. But the other one is the Niners Rams, and we have to watch Eagles. Eagles are already in, and the Chiefs. Yeah, I mean they're playing for the one. They're the Chiefs. I guess I get that. The Broncos are out. I hate this. I hate these decisions. I'm not at all excited about either game Saturday.
Yeah, I'm not going to spend 1 second watching either game Saturday. There's no way I'm watching Chiefs Broncos, and I'm not watching Cowboys Eagles. It's just not happening.
Well, you're going to be watching Vols at LSU Hoops, right?
Yeah, I'm going to be dialed into Vols and LSU Hoops. Fulkerson's going to score 30. Isn't that what you said?
15 plus. Mark it down.
Yeah, I don't know. That was an interesting decision from the NFL to kind of flex those games. I mean, Niners-Rams, that's a big game. Like, the Rams still have to wrap up that division, and the Niners, they need to win. So, that's a big game.
I don't get it, other than, I guess, I mean, I know that there's back and forth different networks. I mean, that's a very key piece of inventory in the later window Sunday for Fox, but I don't know. I it's too bad. It did not work out well this year on the flex front.
It did not work out well at all on the flex front. But hey, if you're the Titans, you'll take that Sunday noon at down in Houston. All you got to do is take care of business. It is the ending the season in Houston thing. It's interesting how that continues to be a trend with the Titans and the Texans. Just take it on down to Houston last week of the year.
Well, 2 years ago, they had to win that game to get into the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, that was also the game that, because of other things around them, they kind of got the break, as we thought it was a break. I mean, I still remember my headline from that day. The Titans can end the Brady Belichick era coming out of that Houston game. And by golly, they did. But that was to get in. Last year, it was to win the division. This year, it is to be the one seed. So the stakes get progressively higher. So far, they have responded. Now, let's remember, they didn't exactly set the world on fire with their play at Houston last year. And that was a very different defense going down there against a very different quarterback. I mean, they needed some Ryan Tannehill to A.J. Brown magic, and then Titans legend Sam Sloman.
I wonder what Sam Sloman's doing right now. Coming up on the year anniversary of Sam Sloman. I guess it was probably before this time last year, but that's beside the point. He's a free agent. Sam Sloman's still a free agent out there, so hope he enjoyed his moment in the sun last year for the Titans. Hopefully for the Titans, it does not come down to a Randy Bullock field goal on Sunday. I would hope you have a more comfortable victory than that.
Yeah, you would think. You would think. I mean, the atmosphere, like I'm not worried about getting there super early to beat the traffic Sunday. You know, let me just say that. Be interesting to see how many Titans fans are there as well. There are definitely Titans fans who live in Houston. So, I mean, it's just, there's no reason for this to be a good game. I'm sorry.
Except my guy Davis Mills, reason enough. He can put together about two or three good drives a game, so watch out for that.
You never know, man. You just never know. Davis, I mean, look, way crazier things have happened than this game being a good game. And this is, like, if you're the Texans playing out the string, first of all, a lot of this, it really is like you got professional pride, and for a lot of guys, it's putting good stuff on film and all that stuff. But, you know, if you're the Texans, to feel like you actually have an opportunity to do damage to, you know, a division rival, the team that used to be in your town, and also you have a chance to sweep them. I mean, I certainly do expect that team to be, you know, to be at full capacity, to be loose and really motivated to pull off a stunner. But it shouldn't matter.
Tyler texting in says, can we stop saying that Foreman is playing well so he'll be able to take some of the workload from Henry in the playoffs? In no world should Foreman take carries from Henry. Henry is the engine that makes it go, and if we want to win, he needs 20-plus carries. Unless the doctors say he can only handle 10 to 15 carries, he needs his normal workload. We cannot – let's not reinvent the wheel here. This is coming from Tyler on the text line.
Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying. I guess it's – to me, like that first game, I think we all figure it's going to be the division around against whoever, against the Bills, the Patriots, the Colts, probably one of those three would be my – or Bengals. But, no, it wouldn't be the Bengals. The Bengals win, it wouldn't be them, probably. No, it wouldn't be, because they play the 4-5. If they, you know, they play the Colts because the Colts would upset the Bengals. Anyway, I hear what you're saying, but if you go, are you going into that game and saying 22, everybody else have a seat? It's 22 all day. I feel like at least in the first half of that game, you'd have some kind of a split backfield, right? That would be my expectation. I mean, I think the idea being, let's see how it goes. Let's see how he's doing. Let's see how he feels. And again, like, maybe he's at 7-8 carries through three quarters, but then if everything's going well, then the fourth quarter Derrick Henry thing kicks in. I don't think there's going to be some pitch count. So, but I think early on in that first game, I would expect some shared workload.
When we come back, we'll be joined by our friend Terry Crisp. We'll get his thoughts on the red-hot Nashville Predators, the first place Nashville Predators. We'll do that coming up on the other side. The college football championship is here, and to celebrate, FanDuel Sportsbook hooking new customers up with 30-1 enhanced odds on either team to win. That means you can bet $5 and win 150 ducks on either team to win it all. I really like Alabama in this game against Georgia, but you take it any way you want to take it. Just sign up for FanDuel Sportsbook using promo code Rob and make a deposit to claim your 30-1 enhanced odds. There's no better place to bet the college football championship than on America's number one sportsbook. It's very simple to use, and when you win, you'll get paid in as little as 2 hours. So don't miss your chance to win $150 on a $5 bet on the college football championship. Just download FanDuel Sportsbook's app or head over to sportsbook.fanduel.com and sign up using promo code ROB to get 30-1 odds on either team to win. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only, a $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market, a max bonus of $150. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled at site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this snowy Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. The Preds, they get it done again last night. 4-2 winners against the LA Kings, remaining in first place in Central Division. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend, the legendary Terry Crisp, Predators TV analyst. Crispy, what's going on? How are we doing?
Good morning, gentlemen. Well, it's a snowy good morning, a snowy yesterday. It's hockey weather, I guess you could call it, if you really want to get mean about it all and see how good it is. See what kind of a vehicle you own to get yourself out of the driveway.
I don't think there's any question about that. A little bit different down here with snowstorms in Nashville than where you grew up, huh?
You know what? I was just thinking that, and everybody says, Chris, you're Canadian, you know, and you're used to this. And, you know, and I said, no. I left it 40 years ago, okay? It just sort of popped in this last couple of days.
That's right. No question about it. Well, Crispy, obviously, it's a really impressive run that the Predators are on right now. They've had two wins to begin this road trip in Vegas and in L.A. What's kind of stood out to you about the way the Predators have been playing as of late? Obviously, right now in first place in the Central Division.
You know what? They're playing, I don't want to say the word, yeah, I will say, with a purpose. Every game now, you get that feeling when you're either in the building or you're watching, you expect them to win now. And that's a great feeling from the fans, from the press, side of it, and especially from the players when they go out there and you watch when you have their interviews, they're having fun. They're all lighthearted. They're enjoying what they're doing. Of course, everybody, when you're winning, enjoys it. And right now, I think the Predators, we looked about that word identity. Remember Coach Hines for, I think, 2 years now has been throwing that word around. And now you don't hear him a whole lot saying it because he knows this team has found its identity right from the skill to the grit to the goaltending, et cetera. And having mentioned goaltending, I would have to say that Saros, in my opinion, if the MVP for a team, if that's how that trophy is handed out throughout the year, whether you win the cup or not, for a player that makes his team the most valuable and makes them win the most, to me, Saros would be the front leader right now.
So, Crispy, I asked this of John Hines yesterday. I always love getting your perspective. You put on the coach hat. Because I know some coaches, when things are going really well, they actually start to get uncomfortable, like kind of looking around their shoulder, like, okay, everybody, don't get complacent. Don't get happy. You know, you want to keep an edge, right? So when things are going well like they are for this team, and it just seems like it's all clicking, it's all working together, like you said, playing with a purpose – how do you handle that? Is it sometimes difficult as a coach to handle success like that and make sure your team doesn't get too comfortable?
No. You know why? I paid for the best coaches. Two of the best. Fred Shiro and Scotty Bowman. Scotty Bowman's the best. I mean, he's won more hockey games than I'll ever attend or have seen or whatever. And I had the pleasure of playing under him for 5 years and being his friend for a lot of times. And we used to wonder what was wrong with Scotty. We'd go on a 5-game, 8-game win streak, and he would be tougher than nails on us. I mean, we had practices you wouldn't believe. Do it again. Stop. Blow the whistle. What's this? And we'd lose 2 or 3, and he'd be just calm and cool, and we'd expect him to explode. The guys can handle when you want to straighten things out. Like, you look over your team right now, there's a couple little things that Coach Hines would like to get a whole lot better at. Okay, this is the time to hammer down because now they're winning, they can accept it, they can take it. But it's bad enough when you're losing that you got to face each other, then you got to face an angry bird or an angry coach. No, you know what? It's not difficult. Most coaches realize when things are going well, you got to have a firm hand on the tiller. You got to make sure that boat's heading in the right direction. But at the same time, give them their kudos. Give them that little piece of sugar, that little hunk of candy along the line. But keep them and remind them that, how did you get here? What did you guys do to get here? And let's do it, or let's do it a little better.
Crispy, you've seen Philip Forsberg play in almost every game of his career so far, and we've seen a lot of good from Philip Forsberg in his time in Nashville. He is playing, seemingly to me, just from purely a production standpoint right now at a different level. But what are you kind of noticing out of Philip Forsberg, not only with the goals and everything that's happening out there, but just the way he's approaching the game in general? Does this feel different to you with Philip?
It does. You know what? It does. As a coach, I'm looking, watching him, and I think there's something that's finally, it's almost like he knows Christmas arrived for him. He's got that smile now. He's got a little bounce to him when you see him being interviewed or you see him talking with players or whatnot. He's back into where he's enjoying the game. And when you're still players that are enjoying the game, they're doing things right. They feel good about themselves, and they feel they're contributing to the hockey club the way they know they can, the way that the coach knows they can. And Philip Forsberg right now is one of those. And I have to say that the guys playing with him or around him know this. And they're fully aware of the fact that if you're out there with Forsberg, get him the puck or get him behind him, because something's going. Remember when he first came, I used to always say, how many players can you watch, like besides a McDavid or a McKinnon or whoever they are, or and Yossi for a while was doing it, that when they grab that puck, everybody in the arena stands up, because they know when Forsberg or Yossi used to have that puck, something was going to happen at the other end in front of the other team's net. And that's what Forsberg is up to now. That's how he's playing. That when he gets it and he heads down center ice over the blue line, you say something is going to happen.
Well, and then the other guy, of course, who got back on the score sheet last night, Crispy, and we've talked a lot about him, a guy who's had a lot of success in his career, but I think you can make the case that Matt Duchene's playing the best all-around game of his career. What do you think about that idea?
Yeah, you know what? Matt Duchene is one of those players that has full confidence in himself. And you've heard him have interviews. You've heard him when the press were knocking him, the fans were on him, everybody thought, oh, whoa, it was us and whatnot. And yet he stayed the line and he said, listen, I know I'm a skilled hockey player. I know I can score goals. They will start to come. And he never lost that part of his game, that confidence. And now suddenly it's coming to fruition. And I shouldn't say suddenly, because he's proved that in the past that he can do it. But he's like Forsberg now. He's playing with the confidence that he knows he can do, what he can handle. The one area as a coach that you really, you don't worry about it, but you sort of tap on the shoulder and say, listen, you know, love your game, but you're not a lone ranger out there. You have to use some of your teammates a lot of times for a given goal to get yourself into the open, give it to them, get open and get it back. And once that hits, like that light bulb goes on, then you start to play your game. And the skilled guys learn that in a hurry. And I think right now, Duchene and Forsy have realized that, yeah, with the puck, they're great. They're going to make things happen. But they also, the odd time, need to use a little pass or give and go with a line mate.
Terry Crisp on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Crispy, we were talking about this yesterday. Obviously, we're a long way away from the playoffs right now, and there's a lot of hockey to be played before that happens. I'm just curious, from your vantage point, you brought up the identity that this team plays with and the style of play that they have. How much more equipped do you think this roster and the way this team plays is to play a playoff style of game at this point with what John Hines has built over the last couple of years ago than they were, I don't know, 2 years ago when he first took over the job? Just purely from a style of play standpoint.
I just look at our grit. I look at our additions is what I look at. We've had Forsberg here for how many years? We've had Yossi. We've had Ekholm. I can go on down the line of the guys we've had. Suddenly we brought in Janot and Trennan and Olivier and Benning and Borowiecki. And I could go down the line a few other guys. And what did they bring with them? They brought an attitude into the dressing room. They brought a different attitude on the ice, and they brought a different attitude that we're going to, every game, you're going to know you played us. You're going to leave the ice with marks, and you might win one, you might beat us, but we tell you, and I tell you, you're in a battle with us. That's the difference I see right now. That year, the year I always go back to is the a couple years ago against the Carolina Hurricanes. I mean, our team played hard. We should have knocked the Hurricanes out, taking nothing away from the Hurricanes. They're a great hockey club. But we took them right to the wire, right to the wall. And if anybody recalls, the fifth and sixth game, we sort of let down each time in the third period. Other than that, this team was on stride. They were on stride to make good things happen. I get that feeling with this team again.
Well, Crispy, we appreciate you taking time to join us today, my friend. Hopefully some good hockey continuing over the weekend, and enjoy the snow as well. Good stuff as always.
Enjoy the snow. You just said that, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I did.
Come on,
I know.
With your shovel,
just for
come
you.
To my house with your shovel to my driveway. Then I'll tell you how much you will enjoy it.
This is no Sault Ste. Marie, Crispy.
It's beautiful out there. The kids are sleighing. I watch all the children on the toboggans and on the sleighs, and they're having a wonderful time. And in this time of COVID and whatnot, that cheers me up. That makes me feel good watching the children enjoy it. So you guys enjoy it too, because you're just two kids anyways.
Well, that is true.
I think absolutely. That's exactly right. Babes in the woods.
Have a good day, guys.
Thanks, Crispy. We appreciate you. The legendary Terry Crisp, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Crispy had to say there. Got more thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Make sure you join Stillman & Company this Monday from 2 to 6 p.m., live from 312 Pizza Company in Germantown prior to the college football championship as Alabama takes on Georgia. 312 Pizza Company is home to the best pizza in Nashville and a great spot to watch the big game. So come on down to 312 Pizza Company at 371 Monroe Street on Monday and hang out with 102.5 The Game and stick around for the college football championship as well, kicking off at 7 p.m. 312 Pizza Company, Nashville's authentic Chicago pizzeria. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. ESPN The Game Nashville is your home for the College Football National Championship game, brought to you by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown and Central Barbecue. Monday on 102.5 The Game and ESPN 94.9. Tune in for the College Football National Championship game as Alabama takes on Georgia. The kickoff is set for 7 p.m. 312 Pizza Company is family-owned and operated, bringing you a slice of Chicago to Nashville. They specialize in deep-dish pizza, thin crust, and all things Chicago style. Plus, it's the perfect spot to catch the championship game coming up on Monday night as well. So make sure that you keep that in mind. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Visit volstatebank.com to learn more about their free Kasasa checking account. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Thanks to Terry Crisp for joining us in the last segment. The Predators, Joe Rex Road, back in the win column again last night. A 46-save performance from UC Soros. And there was a lot that happened in that game last night. But UC Soros, I think, continues probably not to be discussed as much as he should be. And Adam Vingan just put this out on Twitter about 30 minutes ago. It says, UC Soros in his past 51 starts, he's got 34 wins, which is first in the National Hockey League, a 2.07 goals against, which is fourth, 934 save percentage, which is first, 942 even strength save percentage, which is also first in the league, and 42.19 goals saved above average, which is also first in the National Hockey League. So you're talking about the best of the best over the course of his last 51 starts for UC Soros. Hard to get much better than that.
Tell me why he isn't going to be right there for the Vezina at the end here.
Well, there's no reason for me why he shouldn't be right there. I mean, look, I mean, you're always when you have, I mean, the Eastern Conference right now is just absurd with some of the teams that are playing, because in the Predators have the second best points percentage in the West right now. I think they're right behind Colorado is the only team that's in front of them in terms of points percentage in the West right now, and they're at 657 with their point percentage. Over in the East, you have like five teams who are at 700 or better in the point percentage. So the East is just a joke right now with how good it is. So, like, you know, your Vasilevskis of the world, they're going to be right there. You know, there's some guys you can put on that list. But to me, I mean, there's no way right now that Saros is not a Vezina finalist with the way he's played. He's been unreal.
I feel like it's gotten too quickly to the point where it's just assumed and expected. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
With him, even last year, the end of the year playoffs, it was still like, okay, is this him? I think this is him. Is this him next year? If it is, then that's why I picked them to go to the playoffs this year. I didn't think they'd be nearly this good overall. And I had my questions like everybody else did about Deshane and Johansson, but I thought he would be why, but I still didn't think he would play this well. And I think it's already gotten to the point of, okay, yeah, well, Saros will give you 46 saves, and there you go. Nice game. All right, fellas, pack up and head to Arizona. I mean, I don't think enough's being made of what he's doing.
I don't think enough's being made of what he's doing either. And like you said, 46 save performance last night. That brings his save percentage on the season up to 928. So that's 928 overall. We're not talking 5-on-5. That's overall save percentage of 928, 2.2 goals against. I mean, the guy's been incredible. I mean, you're talking about, you know, 46 save performance last night. Vegas put up a ton of shots the other night as well. In the first game of the road trip, he only gave up 2 goals in that game, and they both came a little bit later in the game. I mean, he's playing at an incredible level right now. And it was, yeah, I thought it was interesting to hear John Hines on him yesterday when you asked him about, you know, when exactly he knew that this was who he was, because you do kind of go back and think about before, you know, COVID came into the picture, right before the original pause, like he was starting to play well and to take over. And then, you know, the beginning of last season, he started off as the guy, you know, got hurt during that stretch as well. And Pekka comes in, makes some big saves, has some big wins. And that's really like the turnaround last year really started with a couple of big wins from Pekka during the time where Saros was hurt. And then Saros got back in there and took off in the second half of the season. But it's pretty incredible now that he's been fully given the reins. Like, I have no questions about him moving forward. Like, I mean, obviously you want him to stay healthy. That's the question. But this idea of, can he handle an 82 game season? To me, I'm way past that point at this point.
How many franchises, you know, in the NFL, the one thing, that especially around here, you think of when it comes to, like, I guess, good luck for franchise is going from Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck. And I'm not comparing this to that, but how many franchises go from a Pekka Rinne-level goaltender for a long period of time to what appears to be now a UC Saros-level goaltender for a long period of time? There's no way that happens too often.
It doesn't happen very often. And by the way, they do have a first-rounder that could be ready in a few years that everybody tells you is going to be on that same level. So you're talking about, you know, if that happens, 3 guys in a row that are pretty darn good. Now, having said that, it's difficult for me to imagine the UC Saros era in Nashville coming to a close anytime soon with the way that dude's playing right now.
Well, again, I mean, even last year, I mean, like midway through last season, it was like, okay, yeah, you probably want to sign Saros to a bridge deal. And then, you know, by then, Askarov will be ready to go. And then you've had your nice little transition, and you go from one big-time goalie to the next big-time goalie. But, yeah, I think that's blown up now. I think that's totally different now. It has to be a different mindset on that. And it's just, I mean, really, like, you think about the value, too, that they've gotten out of what they've paid Saros and what he's given them. Pretty sweet for David Poile and the Preds. And he's also, and this is, that's the thing. I mean, who knows if Askarov is going to be that good. You know, I mean, Saros didn't have the credentials coming up that anyone would have expected him to necessarily be this good. It's just, it's the great thing about sports. And also the great thing about analytics, you mentioned all those stats that Bingen threw out there. This is why I love analytics in hockey, because, for example, the natural stat trick stuff, like the 42.19 goals saved above average, like that's stuff that I'm interested in, you know. And I know there's subjectivity involved in it, of course, in evaluating what is a save you shouldn't have had or you know, but still, I think that tells the story that it's not just that he has, yes, you have to have people playing well in defensive zone to be a successful goaltender in this league, but this shows you, I mean, he's saving their bacon quite a bit.
Tyler texting in says Saros is plus 2,500 for the Vezina right now. Plus 2,500. May not be bad odds. Just saying.
I want to jump on that one. But, like, that's the thing. Like, it will be hard probably to overcome Vasilevskiy. Is there fatigue? You know, is there, like, the fatigue factor with someone like that because they win everything and he wins everything? Maybe that comes into it.
Maybe. Man, he's also pretty darn good.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. But I don't know. We'll see. I think if – you know, last year, Saros, I mean, the fact that he wasn't a finalist was a joke, okay? And I guess you could talk Nashville market stuff with that if you want, again, on that front. But if he keeps this up, then, you know, that's where he's got to be more in the discussion on these things, and then maybe he's got more of a chance.
I think so, too. And then on the other side of things last night, Forsberg keeps it going. He scores quickly in that game, just rips one on the power play from the circle and went bar down under Jonathan Quick. Not much Quick could do in that situation. Matt Duchene gets on the board last night as well. Matt Luff scores. Jakob Trenin with the empty netter. But good to see Forsberg keeps it going with both a goal and an assist last night. And also Matt Duchene getting back on the goal scoring department last night. Good move by him to just kind of cut to the middle and power move to get to the net. All of a sudden it's in the back of the net, his 14th of the year. Some big plays last night by your big guys. And oh, by the way, Another multi-point night for Roman Josi again. Ho-hum, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Another prime award candidate. You know, you brought up this week, Robbie, the just like the special situation the city's in right now with its NFL and NHL teams, you know, both soaring right now. It's also an interesting weekend. Now, it's a way bigger stakes for one than the other, but, you know, Preds, you should go crush Arizona on the road Saturday. Titans, you should go crush the Texans on the road Sunday. So we'll see. I mean, we may be crying about one or both of these teams Monday morning.
Could be. Here we are. I mean, Granlund, he picks up some assists last night as well. Like, to me, he's still the guy. And I know we just talked about Saros not getting the attention. Granlund, to me, is still the guy that just keeps chugging right along. And everybody's like, hey, look at Josi, or hey, look at Forsberg, look at Duchene, look at Saros. And meanwhile, Granlund's at 31 points in 33 games.
Yeah, no question. He never gets talked about and just is the same guy every night. They lean on him so heavily in so many situations. Talk about what a stroke of luck to end up getting him back, you know? I mean, twice. Twice. What a big deal that is.
Yeah, it's working out pretty well for this team. He's been an absolute beast for them out there this year. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll get into the college football championship game coming up on the other side. Also, some news yesterday, some troubling news on the Vols front. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game.
Any team that's tested AI tools for data has seen the pattern already. AI gives a different number than your BI tool. Metrics don't match across teams. And inevitably, users lose trust. It turns out, turning on AI is easy, but making it work on data is not. Hex AI was built to solve this. The key is nailing context. Hex is built to unify and curate your data context for agents. Data teams can observe, govern, and continuously improve every AI answer, so answers get smarter the more your team asks. The result? Your entire organization asks data questions in natural language and trusts the answers. Not because the AI got lucky, because it knows your business and its data. Because that's what an AI analytics platform should do. Join data teams from Cursor, Lovable, Ramp, AWS, and over 2,000 more at hex.ai.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boost and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.